Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We've been bringing these messages for 19 years now, and we praise the Lord for all the prayers, for the provision for this radio station, and most of all for you, the listener, for all of those who have been listening now for many years. We thank God for you. And if this is your first day today listening to this broadcast, we pray that you come back each and every Sunday. Make this a regular stop on your Sunday worship schedule. Today we're going to be talking about a big subject that is pertinent to every single person, Christian or non-Christian, and it's dealing with anxiety. And we live in a time where there's a lot of stress, there's a lot of chaos going on in the world, a lot of chaos in each individual person's lives, and so we are going to look to see how we can deal with this situation in your life and in my life. And so if you have your Bible there, turn it to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And we'll take up this message, dealing with anxiety, here in just a minute, right after our prayer time. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Before we get into the message today, just want to give a brief update on what's going on in Kenya. I'm in the USA for a couple more weeks, then we'll be heading back to Kenya. And we've got a Bible school started with about 10 to 15 people coming every other Saturday, and they have an opportunity to get a diploma if they finish the course, pay all the fees. They have an opportunity to get a diploma, which will help some of them who are pastors and some in our church who are not pastors but just want to move forward in their Christian education and their kingdom walk. And so pray for that event. It's coming up the 7th of July. The children are all in school. They'll be in school till about the end of July. And so pray for them as we did. And pray for the people of Kenya. Many of them have been forced out of their homes by flooding all over the country, mostly primarily in the Nairobi area. So pray for them. Many people have been forced out of their homes, lost their homes, had their belongings and their homes washed away, and over 300 deaths in the Nairobi area. So keep that in your prayers, as many people are suffering from the rains. Out where we live in West Kenya, the rains are starting to diminish, and so that is a good thing. And the maize crop looks good. It will start to dry down now, and we can harvest here in a couple of weeks. Having an important announcement, we're going to have a fundraiser on the 23rd of June at the Bullseye Event Center in Norton at 6 p.m. We're going to feed hamburgers, hot dogs, and then have a fundraising event for the school project we have going there in Kenya. So come out to the fundraiser June 23rd at the Bullseye Event Center, 6 p.m., and we'll feed you, we'll have some worship, and then a time of fundraising. It's going to be a fun event, a great event, and so we'll plan to see you there on the 23rd of June. Well, today we're talking about dealing with anxiety, and as I said before, this is a big subject. It's pertinent to every single person because we live in a time of chaos, we live in a time of stress, we live in a time of wars and rumors of wars, of earthquakes, famine, and pestilence, and all of this was prophesied by Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, and so we've seen the run-up to this. The last 10 to 20 years, I would say, the intensity of the turmoil around elections, not only in the USA, but also in Kenya and other countries, a lot of turmoil around elections. And so we have an election coming up here in the USA. All of you know it's in early November, and so there's going to be a lot of turmoil, there's going to be a lot of chaos. I believe you're going to see some things or surrounding this election that you've never seen before in the history of the United States. So buckle up and get ready, because there may be some very interesting happenings, some very interesting events, and you have to deal with it in your personal life. We pray that the violence doesn't get to the point where it paralyzes things in the United States, but there will be some places, I believe, where there will be paralysis in some of the inner cities. I believe there may be paralysis in the election process itself. And so all of this will bring stress into people's lives. All of this will affect people in their daily walk to some extent. But on a personal level, the Bible speaks to us about being anxious. And so the solution, friends, to anxiety, to depression, to despair, to discouragement, and chaos, all of this, the solution is in God's Word. The solution is with a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so this solution is for you to dig into God's Word. And we'll be talking about that here in just a minute, steps to releasing and dealing with anxiety. But first, I want to look at a scripture in Philippians. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. And he says in Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, that is all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And so Paul says the way to deal with anxiety is in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Well, we all know what prayer is. Prayer is, in a way, positioning yourself before God. It's laying your petitions down before God. It's honoring God, praising God in your secret place, in your own life, in your quiet time. And I think that's very important, obviously, that you have a quiet time, you have a secret place, and spend time with the Lord early in the morning or at night, or maybe just driving down the road. You have time when you're by yourself, and you have time to make your requests known unto God. And so Paul says, by prayer and supplication. Well, what is supplication? Supplication is a plea for mercy, because we know that we have nothing to boast about before God. We have nothing to boast about that we can look at and say, we did this, we're self-made man, we can do it all, we don't need God. If you're of that mindset and that attitude, that you don't need God and that you're a self-made person and everything you have is because you're such a great person, you're so smart, you're such a great worker, you have great talents and skills, if that's the mindset you have, you're going to be humbled at some point in time in your life. And the Bible says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will exalt you. And so when you humble yourself, God then will exalt you. So don't get in the habit of boasting about how great you are. I suggest you read Deuteronomy chapter 8. That is a wonderful passage of scripture. The whole chapter, Moses was speaking to the children of Israel, and they were getting prepared to go into the promised land. And God said that I am the one that give you the power to make wealth. And then he also gave them a stern warning and said, he said, you will be going into a place where there is wells dug, there's fruit trees already planted, there are fields already cleared and being farmed, and all this stuff is there for you. And he was talking about going into the promised land, taking over all of these farms and places where people had already established a good living. And so God is saying, don't get headstrong, don't get haughty, don't get prideful about what you have, the things that you have that have been given to you and been put in your lap. God says stay low, stay humble, and don't get proud about the money and the resources you have. Well, we could say the same thing about people here in the United States of America. This is a very rich country, rich in resources, rich in timber, rich in fresh water, rich in everything that you need to sustain life here on this earth. This is one of the most fertile and great places on the earth by far. If you travel around, you'll see some other places that are similar in a way, but in Kenya, where I live, there is a great shortage of good farmland. Much of Kenya is dry, brushy, desert-type land, very low rainfall. Sometimes in some of those places, they go years for without good rainfall. And so we have to give thanks for the land that God brought us into here in the United States of America. We're in the same situation as the Israelites that went into the Promised Land, because this is a good, good land, and it's a great blessing to be in this land, and God opened up the door for people to come and for people to be blessed to farm this land, to harvest the timber, to harvest the fish, all of the things that are in this land. And we have the benefit of living here and taking the resources from this land. Well, Paul goes on to say in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, after you've made your requests known to God, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension or understanding, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so God says, when you spend time in prayer, the Apostle Paul is saying, when you spend time in prayer and you lay before the Lord all of your requests, and you lay before the Lord your desires, the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. It says in Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And so when you lay all that before the Lord every day, spend time in prayer, ask the Lord for your daily bread, ask that you need for your life and for your family, for your business, whatever it is, that's your daily bread. Ask God to provide for you. And Paul says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so your heart is guarded by God. Your mind is guarded by God. If you go to Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 12, the discussion of the gospel armor, you will see that we have something guarding our hearts. That's the breastplate of righteousness guarding our hearts to keep the devil from attacking our hearts, to keep our heart pure. Out of the heart comes the issues of life. Out of the heart comes the words that we speak. And so we have our hearts guarded, and our minds are guarded by the helmet of salvation, so that our thoughts are protected. The devil can put evil thoughts in your mind. The devil can fill your mind up with a lot of garbage, with pornography, with evil thoughts, thoughts of violence and destruction and hatred. So when you have the helmet of salvation on and you have the breastplate of righteousness on, your hearts and your minds are guided. Your hearts and your minds are guarded in Christ Jesus. Well, I'm going to talk just a little bit more about prayer, since that is what Paul suggests, recommends that we do, take everything to the Lord in prayer. And another scripture that Paul speaks is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, where he tells the people of Thessalonica, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Well, what does that mean? It means pray at all times, every single day. Spend time in prayer. Get alone with the Lord and spend time in prayer. Think about those things that are pure, that are honorable, that are lovely, that are of good repute, all of those things God wants you to dwell on those things. Dwell on them in prayer. Ask the Lord for your needs. Ask the Lord for your daily bread. And then at the same time, forgive those who you have bitterness towards. And this is a big deal, because when you keep grudges, when you hold bitterness in your heart, you start to have that bitterness take root in you, and it affects everything you do. It affects your attitude even towards other people. It may affect your attitude towards a whole country. It may affect your attitude towards your family members, towards your wife or your husband. And so you have to forgive and let go when people offend you. And you all know that you will be offended. You all know that there will be things done against you, towards you, that will offend you, make you angry, make you want to lash out. But you have to let go and let that bitterness go and let God deal with it. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Let the Lord deal with it, and it will free you up from that bondage of bitterness. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus says, "And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses." And so maybe this becomes a salvation issue after a while. If you don't forgive those who have hurt you, if you have anything against anyone, forgive that person, because your Father in heaven forgave you of your trespasses. And Jesus was on the cross. He looked at those people who had tortured him, those people who had spit in his face, those people had nailed him to the cross and stood him up on that cross, and he was suffering all kinds of pain. He was suffering all kinds of torment and humiliation. And he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." And so we have to take that same attitude. We have to forgive people who have come against us. Some of them may have come against us intentionally or with ill intention and wanted to see us suffer, wanted to see us be humiliated. Some are just coming against us or treating us in a way of ignorance, and they don't know how they're hurting us. They don't know how they are causing us to suffer. But either way, you will have to forgive them. It is a choice to forgive. And so this is a big subject. We could preach the whole hour on forgiveness. But it is a choice to forgive, and you must forgive so that your Father who is in heaven, he forgave your transgressions, and he can forgive you when you stand before him on that day of judgment. We are appointed once to die, the Bible says. We are appointed once to die, and then comes the judgment. That's in Hebrews 9:27. And so when you have bitterness and you're holding on to that bitterness, it is just affecting you, that person that you're angry with, that person that you're mad at. They might not know anything about the bitterness that you have toward them, but it will affect you. It will drag you down. It will make you have anger and hatred and bitterness and depression in your heart, and it will eventually make you depressed and angry and discouraged, and you don't want that to happen. Well, John 14, verse 26 and 27, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. He is called the Paraclete. Well, that means you have a Comforter with you. A Comforter can give you comfort in dealing with your stressful situations. It can give you comfort when you have anxiety, when you have people come against you, and your enemies come against you, and you don't know how to deal with that. You have the Holy Spirit, but the Helper is called the Holy Spirit. John 14:26. But the Helper, the Lord says, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. And so Jesus said, John 14:27, Jesus goes on, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Well, beloved, Jesus Christ, one of his names was Prince of Peace. If you go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, when it talks about, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a child is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace." Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He's not going to give you peace of the world. He's giving you peace, a peace from the Father, peace from the Holy Spirit, peace from himself. The world cannot give you peace. Let me repeat that. The world cannot give you peace. The world doesn't have peace to give because the world is ruled by the devil. And so there's always chaos. You turn on the news every day thinking you're going to hear some really good news, and there's occasionally some really good news, but most of the time it's chaos. Most of the times it's wars, rumors of wars, pandemics, people attacking each other in various countries around the world, all kinds of chaos, murder, mayhem, cities being burnt, riots, all of this. This is the devil's plan. This is the devil's program for the world. And as I spoke before in the prayer time, with the election coming up here in the United States, you're going to see things that you may never have seen before in your life and possibly in the history of the United States of America. You have to get your focus on Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. He said in John 14:27, let me repeat that again, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." And so the peace that passes all understanding that Paul talked about in Philippians 4, that peace that passes all understanding, it will be yours. It will guard your mind and your heart when you have your heart and your mind set on Christ Jesus. Well, again, you have the Holy Spirit if you are a born-again believer. And if you're not, you need to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord. You need to repent of your sins, turn from your wicked ways, and receive the salvation of the Lord. Receive his blessing upon your life. Follow it up with Christian baptism, and then you will receive the Holy Spirit. John 14:16, Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper," a paraclete or an advocate, that's the Holy Spirit, "that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and he will be in you." And John 14:18, "I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you." Well, some of the people out there listening to me today, you feel like you're an orphan. You may not have any friends that you can count on. You may not have any friends. You may have a situation where you're very separated from people. You're very isolated, no friends, no family. You may have lost your spouse, your family members that you really counted on. There's all kinds of situations that lead people into despair and depression, but you can have the Holy Spirit of God. You can have the Spirit of the living God in you, and he will abide with you, and he will be in you. And again, Jesus said, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." And so the Spirit of the living God is yours to have when you confess Jesus Christ. And if you, again, if you've never confessed Jesus and you don't know if you're saved and you don't have the Holy Spirit, you need to take care of that today. Get down on your knees, repent of your sins, ask the Lord to forgive you of all of your sins, your wicked ways, and then turn to the Lord, trust him to guide you, get into a good Bible-believing church where you have other believers to encourage you, to strengthen you, and to pray with you and for you. And when you do that, beloved, the peace of God will start to come into your life, and it comes maybe just a small step at a time. You may not see a big, huge transformation in one day. You may not get delivered of some of your addictions in one day, but I guarantee you, when you turn your life over to the Lord and you start to seek Him and go one little step at a time in your life, even one little step, get out your Bible, start to read it. Get out your Bible and read one chapter a day. Pray for 10 minutes a day, and then maybe you can pray for 20 minutes or 30 minutes. Spend time with the Lord in prayer. Spend time in Bible study. Get in the fellowship, and the Holy Spirit then will start to guide and direct your life, and you will have that peace that passes all understanding. Well, God does not want us to be orphans. He wants us to come into the family of God. He wants us to be in the church. The church isn't a building, although we meet in buildings. The church is the fellowship. The church is the ecclesia, the called out ones, the ones who have been set aside by God, the ones who have humbled themselves before God and said, I need a Savior, I need a fellowship, I need people to encourage me, to strengthen me, and to walk with me. And beloved, when you start to understand the power of being in a church, the power that you have to take control of your life, kick the devil out of your life, kick the addictions out of your life, kick that depression and despair out of your life. When you start to understand that, then you can start to move forward in your life, and the God of all peace will guide you, will comfort you. The Holy Spirit will give you counsel and give you instruction in every good thing. And beloved, you can start to then regain your life, get it back from the devil, get the depression and despair kicked out of your life, and start to have that joy and that peace. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and that peace that passes all understanding then will be yours in your life, and you will find that you will start to regain the life that you lost somewhere along the way. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We hope you enjoyed this message, and we'll give you some good ideas on how to deal with anxiety in your life. Take those steps that I encourage you to do, and you will see progress in your life. You'll see joy come back into your life. Stay tuned for contact information. We'd love to hear from you today. Help us keep these broadcasts on the air. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.